How is everyone this morning? Good. So Jacob is on a short vacation, so he asked me to speak. And this was a while ago, and so I don't know if he had this planned, but it worked well. It worked well. So today I want to cover a topic that is very interesting to me, and it's been something that's been on my heart for a while, about the tongue and how it has the power of life and death. And I think it's a message that we could hear, honestly, quite often because of just who we are and our flesh and how we battle ourselves, how we battle our flesh and our tongue as well. So let's get into this. So first I wanted to talk about just kind of the freedom that we have in this country that not everyone has in the countries that they live in. So I'm not going to pretend that I understand all that this says, but it's at least affirming that we have freedom of speech. So, Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, that's what we're highlighting, or of the press, or of the right of people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Again, I don't understand all of that. We're focusing on freedom of speech this morning. So in our country, we all know we have this freedom, and it's a great freedom that we have, because in many other countries, you think of the persecuted church, they don't have the freedom to talk about Jesus. They don't have the freedom to share their faith with other people. So we're seeing this freedom as well, like everywhere. If you go on social media, and part of this will be kind of covering just about social media and the impact that it's had on our society since its inception and how our communication has changed in a lot of ways because of it. So this freedom, I mean, just you see it in people's blogs, like whatever they're writing on Facebook, it's everywhere. We see this freedom being exercised of the freedom of speech. And even if a lot of times you'll see people, if they're talking about a certain topic, and you know we may disagree with them on this topic, they'll usually cling to that freedom. Like, I have the freedom of speech. And then it's like the Trump card. It's like, well, okay, you do. And so it's a privilege, again, though, that we have this right. That we have this right in this country. However, my question this morning is, just because we have this right in this country, does that mean that we are held to the same standard that government gives us? Like that we can say whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want? Or as Christians, do we have a higher standard that God has called us to? Let's pray as we get into this. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you give us words and that these words can have life or death, and I pray that we would speak life into each other in this body, in our lives, and those we come in contact with, that we would speak your truth and love, and that it would impact people, it would change lives through the power of Holy Spirit. Just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so these are just some statistics I'm going to try to get out of the way. So Facebook, I found these on thenextweb.com. These are just some Facebook statistics. 1.19 billion monthly active users, 874 million mobile users, and 728 million daily users. Also, as of the first quarter of 2015, the microblogging service averaged 236 million monthly active users. So we can see that the issue isn't at all like, are people communicating in this world? You know, obviously, we're not just talking about social media places, we're talking just in normal life. We have a desire to communicate, but we can see that people are communicating everywhere. That's not the issue. The issue is, are we as believers, are we communicating in ways that honor the Lord? Or are we communicating in ways that dishonor him? So we all have, I wanted to do this morning because I think it would be funny. Everybody, we're talking about mouth issues. So if you have this, make this noise with me. Ah! That is your tongue, and we all have issues with it. I will be the first to admit that. I have an issue with it. And so James talks about that and many other scriptures. I'll read a few. So James 3:8, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So that's pretty descriptive of the tongue and the power that it has in it and the damage that it can do. Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. So we'll go into that later as well, just about there are times when we should say nothing at all. It's much better to say nothing at all. James 1:26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So this is literally equating our religion to, if we can't tame the tongue, we have to really begin to look at, what is our religion? Are we following Christ? And this is one of the scriptures I alluded to earlier, Proverbs 18:21. And death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So God definitely cares about our speech. This is a big deal. This is a big deal in our lives. This is a big deal of how we interact with other people, because we have the power to give life or take life from people, not just Christians, but people outside the faith as well. So how can we honor the Lord in a culture that I think has been really, the institution of social media, I think, has made it very easy, again, to say what we want when we want to say it. So how do we tame our tongue in a culture like that? Because I do believe that the things in social media have, like, crept into our everyday speech. You know what I mean? I don't think there can be a separation between, well, I do this on Facebook, but in real life, I'm going to, like, do it differently. I think there's some way that can somewhat happen, but I think it goes into all of our lives. I don't think it's able to just stay on social media, which is still, I'm not saying social media is free game and just go off and do whatever, but they both matter. So this is something, as I was praying about this, I don't know if I've actually heard this before from a teaching, but I think there's some wisdom in this, in these three principles that I want to talk through. The first is this the right thing to say? So these are questions I believe if we asked Holy Spirit, our speech would be much different. So is this the right thing to say? Do our words align with Scripture? So are we saying things that are speaking life, that are truth, or are we just saying whatever we heard from so-and-so or whatever we just believe at the moment? Are we saying things that are God's word, that are from the knowledge of God? And then do our words build each other up? Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So is our speech just going to serve, almost like serving ourselves? Like, I need to say this, I just have to say this. Or are we looking out for the well-being of other people? Are we looking out for, this is gonna speak life into this person? Those are important questions. Number two, is this the right way to say it? So number one is probably pretty simple, I would say. I mean, we would all like agree. We want to say things that align with the word of God. But this is different. This is different because I believe how we say things really matters as well. So Ephesians 4:15-16, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So are we speaking, and this is kind of, I'm going to bring this back in later, are we speaking to each other in love? Are we speaking the truth in love to one another? I think oftentimes it's very easy to try to separate the truth, like where it's just like, this is the truth, deal with it. And sometimes we do have hard conversations with people where it does, it may come to that, and people may react like not well to the truth that's being portrayed. But I think a lot of the time we can do it in such a way that will hopefully have people just bring them along with us more instead of just like being a stone wall and just being like, that's the truth, deal with it, and then I'll see you later, good luck. That doesn't really seem like a loving way to speak the truth to somebody. So 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So again, we could have all the knowledge in the world, we could have all the wisdom, but if we're not speaking in love, it's like just this barrier that's there. And it may really hinder someone from encountering Jesus. So this is my last question this morning, is are we speaking things at the right time? I think there's a right time to say things as well. And so I think asking Holy Spirit again, the first two questions, but this one as well, is this the right time to say something? Again, in our culture, because it's so ingrained, we can say our opinion about anything, like, in a matter of a second, and then the whole world can see it, which is a great thing and a terrifying thing as well, if you're speaking foolishness. But I think it's really, timing is really important, and that's something that I struggle with a lot of the times with the Lord, as far as I want to do things like right away. I'm like, I see this, this is good, I want to do this, and I'm going to do it now. Instead of oftentimes praying, is this the right time to do it? Should I be waiting? Should I be waiting to give what you gave me? Like, whether it's a word for somebody or whether it's an opportunity to speak into their lives, should I wait until you tell me to? And I think in our culture, I mean, that doesn't help either, as far as American culture is very fast-paced, as far as what I've heard compared to other cultures and experiencing some other cultures, how fast-paced we are. Everything is, like, so quick. And so I think there's wisdom when people wait, and they just wait, and they say, God, like, when should I deliver this? When are you looking for me to speak this into this other person's life? I love this quote. I thought it was in the Bible. Has anyone ever, like, heard quotes, and you're like, that's so good, it has to be in Scripture? This isn't in Scripture. So this is, and I read this online article about it, quote, investigator.com, and it's talking about better to remain silent and to be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. I love that. I think it's so good. And on this article, Mark Twain and Abraham Lincoln, they were debating who said this. And so they came up with some third party guy. I don't even know who it was. That's not why I was looking for it. I think there's a lot of truth in that quote, is that the people that I know in my life that often are not, like, reactionary. Is that a word? I think that's the word I make up that Lindsay makes fun of me for. Reactive. But those are the people that I often, like, look up to a lot, because they know when to, like, hold their tongue. They know when to, okay, this isn't the best time to say this. I need to wait. I need to pray. And I need to really think about what I'm saying. Also, I was reading, Jacob gave us a book, and it was from Bonhoeffer. And he's talking about how, it was cool because Lindsay and I were talking about this, just the power of prayer and how we need to, like, go to the one who created people. That's actually a Sheryl Crow song. Talk to the one who made you. And so it's just talking about how we need to, like, God is the one who made each person. And he's the one that is going to bring change in people, not us. Yes, he will use us. He will use our words. But at the same time, like, we are very small in comparison to who he is. And we need to go to him. And so if someone is having an issue, if we see something in someone's life, if we see something in our own life, we need to go to him and be like, God, will you change my heart in this issue? Because we could talk at people all day. We could have people talk at us all day. But until, like, Holy Spirit really reveals to us, like, the issue that's going on or something that we're believing that's not true that we need to believe, like, that's something that God is going to do. He's literally the one working in people's lives, and he's working in our lives to lead us to himself, to truth. So I think oftentimes we undermine that reality, that our power is so little in comparison to who he is. And so it is powerful. If we get something, we're like, hey, I want to share this with you, and maybe it's, like, a difficult thing to say, or maybe it's in a dialogue with somebody outside of the church, you know, and something that we definitely know we disagree on. We can't just talk at that person. Like, we should be praying for them and praying that God would change their hearts, change their minds, and that he would reveal himself to them, because that's really where they're going to change. Like, our words can only do so much, and he definitely uses us in our words. But again, I'm just saying, go to the one who made them. Go to the one who created them, who knows their heart more than they know their heart. Okay, so again, I think these three questions are very valid, and I think they would really change our communication as a body, like here. I think they would change our communication with the world as well, as far as how we interact with people on issues that we don't agree with, how we interact with non-believers, and how we show the love of Christ to them in the midst of a world that is, like, just crazy right now. This world is so confused in so many ways, and God literally just, like, put us here, and he's like, now be my light, like, shine for me, do what I called you to do. And I'm not trying to say that there will not be situations where people, we could speak the truth in love, like, so well to one another or to people in the world. And just because they disagree, they may call us, you know, haters. They may call us unloving. And so, again, that's where we even have to go into definitions of, just because we disagree doesn't mean that I hate you in any means. Like, Lindsay and I like different kinds of ice cream. I don't hate her. You know what I mean? So we have to go deep. We have to go deeper in those conversations because the world has taken, in this postmodern world, does everyone know what I mean by postmodern? It's pretty much where your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. So it's just like free game. So when I say one word, five different people could have their own definitions, and it's like, well, they're all valid. So imagine trying to communicate in a world like that. Welcome to 2015. That's where we are. And so that's why going into these deeper conversations of, you know, I'm mainly talking about non-believers right now, but where we have to say, you know, just because I disagree with you, that doesn't mean I hate you at all. It doesn't mean I hate you at all. I love you, but I'm just trying to speak the truth that God has revealed through his word to you because that's what's best for you. And so there's a whole conversation and dialogue that has to happen, probably beyond even some of these principles and steps. So this is, as I was praying, this message is flying by. As I was praying, this was something that I felt the Lord was giving me for this body at this time, and probably even beyond, like as far as the church in America. This world is, again, with the stuff that just happened, with the Supreme Court ruling, and all of these things, the world is, again, so confused, and they're looking for something to grasp a hold of. They're looking for some truth. They're looking for something that is solid. And it's really sad because they're not going to find it apart from Christ. Like, they're not going to find it. And so as we kind of are living in this time, my prayer is that the church will just cling to Christ and know that his truth never changes. It never changes. And that should give us not an arrogance, but a confidence in knowing that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So though a court of, nine people, decide something about what marriage looks like, that's not what God made. And so his truth is still valid. His truth is still valid. It'll never change. And that's something that should give us confidence that we don't serve a God who like, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to change my mind about this. Like, praise God that he's not like that, that he is constant, that he is the same. So John 16:33, these are just some scriptures that I had for this. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So again, just rejoicing that he, though we see the despair, we see the poverty in this world, we see the violence in this world, of these current events, I mean, just crazy things, we know that Christ has overcome the world. Even though we're looking around and we're just like, man, this, how is this going to work out? What's going to happen here? We know in the end that he's victorious. He's coming again. He's going to make all things new, and we rejoice in that. I'm going to skip. Well, I'll read it. Deuteronomy 31:6. This is the context of this is with Moses and the Israelites. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So again, we have that assurance that though we live in this world, we know that God is with us. If we're abiding in Christ, he is with us and he's walking with us and he will see us through and he will continue to pour his truth and his power and his strength into us as we abide and remain in the vine. So my prayer this morning for us is that we'll speak the truth in love to a dying world, and we'll have compassion on those who are blind. I think something that's so important that we have to do is when we're speaking to non-believers when we're speaking to non-believers, the battle is not against flesh and blood. So we're not just talking to somebody and saying, you know, arguing ideas with just another person, and it's like there's no other kind of spiritual activity going on. There is. They're blind. And so we have to have compassion on people as we talk with them. When I see things online, I didn't mention it earlier, but I am totally guilty of reading online articles and just seeing like what people post. I'll read half the article and I'm like, okay, I can't wait. So I go down to the comment section because I'm like, I just have to see what's going on down here. It's like, I don't know. It's ridiculous. But I do that a lot because I want to see what people are saying and what people are dialoguing about. And some of the things, honestly, are terrifying. Like with the situation that just happened, the massacre in Carolina's, what city was it? Charleston. Like some of the things that people were writing about this young man that did this, obviously, I'm not trying to undermine anything like the terribleness of what happened at all. But some of the things that were said were just like awful towards this man. Like nowhere near like any kind of heart of grace or, you know, hoping that he would come to repentance or anything like that. And again, it's so easy just to do that. Someone is just typing, and that's kind of the looseness of our words and our culture, where we can just type things and click it in so quick, and then it's like the world sees it. And so that's my prayer for us, is that we are not like that, that we are like gracious, that we ask these questions to Holy Spirit, because we don't want to say foolish things. Our words have power. The tongue, the power of life and death, it has power. Let's pray together, and let's pray for the families as well in Charleston. I don't think we've talked about that since that happened. So I think let's pray for them as well. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness to us, and I thank you that you make it aware the power of our words. That you care how we speak to one another. You care how we interact with the world. And I pray that we would live by your example, that we would walk with grace and truth, and we would speak the truth in love, that it would be that simple, that you would show us how to do that in each situation we find ourselves in, that we would be humble and we would know that the only reason we've been brought into your kingdom is through your grace. We are no better than anyone else. And we pray for the families in Charleston. We pray that your grace would cover them, that your mercy would cover them. We know that you mourn with them, and we do that as well. And we pray for the young man. God, we pray that you would grab his heart. We pray that you would change him in your power and your strength. And we pray, God, that you would give us your love for the world. We do not possess it in ourselves. It's only an act of God that can give us that, that can allow us to give it to others. And we pray for that this morning, that we would love the world, that we would be your hands and feet in the world as you've called us to be, that we would speak when you call us to speak, that we would be quiet when you call us to be quiet, that we would pray continually, bringing our requests before you. God, we thank you for your grace. We love you. We pray that this body would be a body that loves you, that loves each other, that speaks in kindness and grace to each other, that speaks with the best interest of others in mind. We pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen.